Chapter 6. For the last 3 days I had nothing to do. I was still drawing the supplementary rations issued to doctors, but I spent most of my time either stretched out on my bed or seated on the bleachers of the stadium, which was located not far from F camp. Yes, even Auschwitz had its stadium, but it was reserved exclusively for the use of the German prisoners of the Third Reich, who acted as clerks in various camp sections. And my interjection again. Just as Miklos will eventually start counting the ways people are murdered, I'm tempted to start counting the ways people are ranked in the city of Auschwitz. So far, he's shown us an elaborate ranking of both captors and captives, a scheme that mirrors the larger society with which we are all, unfortunately, all too familiar and comfortable. This morning, which was October 31st, I listened to an interview with a man, Jack L. High, who has written a book called The Nazi and the Psychiatrist, about the life of a man sent by the U.S. military to evaluate the captured Nazi leadership to determine their mental fitness for standing trial. And what surprised me most about the interview was the apparent belief of the interviewer that there must have been some common pathology that the leadership suffered from. He kept digging to find it. What was it? What was it? Which, if we had been discussing Alice Miller, Miklos Niesley, Karl Popper, it would have been obvious for all of us that the pathology is the class system itself. As Miklos bears witness, he constantly calls attention to this fact by the frequent use of the word work and related words like task and function. He calls attention to the fact that there is a single mindset behind Auschwitz and that of the larger society, the mindset of class. There's a total absence of logic in the way work is discussed across the political spectrum. So, and I'm encouraging folks, check out the November 3rd discussion of this. Hammons, George Hammons, in English Villagers of the 13th Century, his observations that each generation lives according to certain convenient lies or myths, convenient for power, not for us, that it treats as real, imply that this is inevitably and almost necessarily so. But he wrote well before the internet and without Nikola's deep consideration of the matter. Nikola Tesla knew that this time we are approaching would come, a time when we will no longer have to fight our way to the truth, but rather live our lives by the light of truth. And that all of us, because it takes all of us to do it, will regain our humanity.